morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to another episode of Dark Reading Radio. I'm Sarah Peters, Senior Editor here at Dark Reading, and our topic for today is security and the network. It seems like, over the years, security people have just become more focused on endpoints and data and applications, and everyone started moving to the cloud and proclaiming that the perimeter is dead. And maybe along the way, network security has become a little neglected. The network itself hasn't gone away, of course. It's just evolved. So today we're visiting the topic of the network and security. And to do so, we've enlisted the help of our friends at the Interop Conference, who have never once ignored the network. Interop Las Vegas will be held May 2nd through May 6th, and we have with us two speakers from that event, Warren Wu of Fortinet, who is going to be presenting a session on a software-defined approach to protecting agile data centers and clouds, and Angela Knox of CloudMark, who's going to be presenting a session about defending against DNS-based attacks. Warren and Angela, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Warren, I'm going to start with you. First of all, you are the Senior Director of Data Center Products at Fortinet, and the session that you're doing is about the software-defined approach to protecting agile data centers and clouds, and in your session, this term SDN, software-defined networking, is going to come up a lot, and it's certainly a term that networking people at this point are very familiar with. And yet it is a term that security people know, but I think is still a little unfamiliar or a little mysterious to a lot of us. So why don't you do some level setting? What do you think security people need to know about SDN?
Yeah, definitely. And the short answer is they should learn and know a lot about it. But to just level set, SDN is a radically new approach to the way that networks are going to be deployed in the coming years, and everything from the routers and switches to the way that network flows go through the physical and virtual layers of the fabric. Now, as security practitioners, it's important for us, as we're trying to secure, whether it's the endpoint or the network, to understand how the infrastructure works and how that is evolving, to make sure that we always have the right visibility in the right place at the right time. And SDN is going to be such a fundamental change to the way that the network flows design that we want to make sure that we have the right visibility so that we can do the proper enforcement, protection, and compliance.
Got it. Now, of course, like all exciting new technology, SDN no doubt poses some new opportunities and it poses some new challenges or risks for the security team. So why don't you take us through some of those? What do we have to look forward to and what do we have to worry about?
Yeah, so one of the fundamental things that SDN doing is, some would actually call it network virtualization, but it's basically bringing the same levels of abstraction, encapsulation, et cetera, that were done to other layers of the data center, such as the servers and the compute layer, several years ago with things like VMware, Hyper-V, et cetera. All this is very exciting. It allows for greater efficiencies, but it also creates a what we call a logical network layer, right? Virtual IPs, virtual MACs, even virtualized switches, routers, and other network devices. And so there are both challenges and opportunities with regard to security with this. On the challenges side, the fundamental question is, as the flows become more decoupled and abstracted from the actual physical network topology, how do we ensure that we're seeing all the flows that we need to at the right time and the right place, especially as, with either my company, Fortinet, or other network security vendors, it's largely a hardware-based device or appliance market today, meaning you put an actual physical box somewhere in your data center or network, and it becomes a fixed choke point that all the traffic has to go through. But as the networks becoming flattened as things are being flows are being torn up and down, it's becoming more and more challenging to make sure that all the right flows are going to that choke point. So we need to look at other approaches and other architectures for the security to make sure that we can have that visibility. And that'll be some of the what I'll be talking about in terms of a new approach. Now, on the opportunity side, however, this also presents great possibilities for how we can actually redesign security to be even better, even more secure, by actually bringing some of those same paradigms to the network security layer itself. For example, there's a lot of exciting things going on in terms of greater automation and orchestration of security policies to move much more quickly, to not just keep up with the business, but to even move ahead of your lines of business, to eliminate any security gaps, to eliminate fat finger errors, et cetera. And it also presents opportunities to do more fine-grained security, such as things we call micro-segmentation. So as we talk about that notion you said that the perimeter is dead, we do agree with that. But that doesn't mean network security is going away. It just means that network security is moving from just being an edge protection down deeper into all layers of the internal network. But to do that, you need a lot more coordination with the network and the infrastructure itself. But if you do that, you can actually achieve better protection, better containment of malware and advanced threats, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this issue of having better visibility seems like it crops up in every single conversation that I have with pretty much any security person. At all, that as the IT environment just gets more spread out, the ability to just see what's going on is getting more and more impossible. So from what you're telling me, it sounds like maybe if we're approaching SDN security properly, we can maybe improve the visibility. Am I asking too much?
That's one of the really exciting things about these new SDN security approaches is the ability to get more visibility. Again, today or historically, people have thought of network security as really just an ingress-egress type of inspection right at the edge of your network. And as you might imagine, that's relatively simple to instrument. Right? You just basically have one in, one out, right at a single edge point of your network gateway. But to do internal monitoring, and this is very important because the shift of data center traffic has been moving from what we traditionally call north-south traffic going from servers out to the external network, really to east-west traffic. So more than three-quarters of traffic today is internal east-west traffic moving between servers or other endpoints in the data center. And so instrumenting the internal network traffic is much more challenging because it's a lot more complex. There's many more A to B points that need to be considered. And there's a lot of greater risk when you instrument that security of interfering with your users and your employees and whatever. So there's a lot greater challenge to maintain uptime and availability and stuff. So SDN security has a lot of exciting things I'll be talking about with regard to how we can orchestrate all these internal inspection points so that you can now gain that additional internal visibility. Just one great example. Without causing that risk of interfering with the business, but you still get that increased security and protection.
Good stuff. All right, so already we've got a piece of technology out there, networking technology that can help us for security purposes, which sounds like maybe a reason that we need to be talking to our network teams a little bit more. And we're going to talk about that when we get both you and Angela on together for a more open conversation later. But before that, we're going to talk to Angela about some of the network-related threats that we have happening, because, of course, we can't have a security conversation without talking about everything that's wrong in the world. before we turn to Angela, I want to remind everybody in the audience that while we are having this chat on air, we are also having a chat online. So if you are not participating in that, by all means, hop right in. We will be joining that chat when we end our audio broadcast. So feel free, if you have questions for us that we don't get to on air, hold on to them, because we will be heading over there, and you can ask them of our guests at that time. And after we finish up here at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock Eastern, there will also be a security-related chat with the Interop crew and with our very own dark reading editors, Kelly Jackson Higgins and Tim Wilson. That is going to be happening at the Twitter chat with the hashtag Interop Chat. That's happening at 2 o'clock on Twitter, so you can head on over there when we are done here. But first, we're going to continue our conversation with Angela Knox, Director of Engineering and Threat Research with CloudMark. Angela, you are giving a session called Barbarians at the DNS, How to Safeguard Against Attacks. So I would suggest, I would ask you to tell us, what are the newest DNS-related threats that we need to worry about? And in addition to the new ones, what are the old ones that continue to perplex and bemuse and make our lives miserable?
Right. So today's newest DNS threat was announced yesterday by Google and Red Hat, and it's a code vulnerability in Linux systems that inside the glibc, where there's a specific library function that is used in DNS lookups called get address info, and an attacker can craft a DNS response using a domain that they control, and the packet will be larger than 2048 bytes, and under certain conditions the attacker can cause a stack overflow and a remote code execution. So that was just announced yesterday, so there's a lot of people who are busy figuring out how to update their Linux systems with the patch for that library. So that's the newest attack. Usually code vulnerabilities in DNS occur occasionally, but they're not super common. So the older attacks are a lot more common. We're seeing things like DNS poisoning, And also that your DNS traffic is just a great place to look for other things going on in your network. So a lot of malware will be connecting to their command and control centers and using DNS to look up those domains. And so there's a lot of times that if malware has made it into your network, you can see that by looking at your DNS traffic.
So we should be using our DNS traffic. But I guess we can be using our DNS traffic for our own purposes. Is that something that security teams take advantage of very often, do you think, or do you think they just kind of disregard that?
I think some security teams are paying attention to that traffic, but I think a lot of them aren't. There's some challenges in terms of speed, cost, and as you mentioned, kind of understanding.
Right.
So DNS is an infrastructure component that supports your entire network, so it kind of underlies everything that you do in your network, and a lot of people will kind of just assume that it works and not understand the value of the data that they can see if they're monitoring it, and also not understand some of the vulnerabilities in the design of the DNS protocol. And if they do understand the risks and opportunities, then sometimes it comes down to cost or speed. DNS obviously needs to be super fast. If you know a standard web page that you're pulling up could easily be doing like 100 DNS lookups no problem just to pull up that one web page. So if you kind of multiply that by all the browsing traffic and all the applications running in your network that are all using DNS to find where they're supposed to be connecting to, it's a lot of traffic and it needs to be very fast. So you either need to have you either need to be kind of doing your monitoring offline in passive mode, and you can just use it, you know, after the fact to see what was going on in your network, which is still really useful. Or if you've got something that's inline and running policy on your DNS traffic, then it needs to be very fast, you know, 1 or 2 milliseconds, and otherwise you're going to end up having to deploy a lot more hardware to manage that.
Also, I mean, we spend a lot of money and a lot of energy trying to find vulnerabilities all over the place, certainly when it comes to software. Where do DNS vulnerabilities and just DNS-related kind of threats rank in most organizations? Are they doing anything, or are they doing enough to locate them and protect against them, in your opinion?
I think most organizations, if there are specific software vulnerabilities that are bugs and there's patches in Bind or Microsoft Active Directory or those kinds of systems, then people are patching where they're supposed to. But it's really about the design of the DNS protocol and kind of realizing that there are things inherent to it. Like the fact that you can send a small request and get a very large response. There are some things there that are just inherent to the way the protocol was designed that they also need to be paying attention to. So it's realizing all of those risks and the opportunities that are there in that traffic, not just the specific software vulnerabilities.
Right, right. Which, and fixing something like the way that something is deployed and the way that it is configured is a little bit more complicated than just deploying a patch, I'm sure. Now, one thing that we have been seeing a bit lately are, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a, if it would be a resurgence of DDoS attacks. I don't know if that would be the right way to put it, but there have been uses of DDoS attacks more for extortion. And I think that maybe that's adding another wrinkle to another reason that organizations might be worried about protecting themselves from DDoS attacks that maybe they just kind of weren't worried about it before. Is there anything that we should be doing to protect ourselves from DDoS that we just might not be doing, or are there organizations that haven't really been taking it seriously that we should be increasing our awareness of DDoS attacks in a way that maybe we kind of put it down on the list of priorities for a while?
Right. Well, in terms of DDoS attacks that are aimed at your DNS infrastructure, the best kind of simplest action that you can do is to diversify your DNS. So don't have all of your DNS infrastructure hosted by one provider. You can invest in a couple of different DNS hosting services for your secondary DNS service, and then you can also have like a hidden master so that if there is an attack on a specific provider, you can switch over to another provider.
That's just good advice in general for no matter what the really no matter what you're talking about from an IT perspective, to not have that monoculture going, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Angela. Well, with all of that in mind, I want to invite Warren back into the conversation because it does seem to me that a lot of what you've both spoken about relates obviously both to security and both to networking, and some of the terminology is more familiar to security people, and some of it is a little more mysterious. and some of it is stuff that certainly falls within the bailiwick, of the security team, and some of it is stuff that requires a lot more help from people outside of the security team, if it's not entirely outside of their control. So my question for you is there a disconnect between internal networking teams and security teams? And do you think that that disconnect or that lack of communication, if it exists, has contributed to contributes to network security problems, and is that something that we need to work on in general? Warren, do you want to take that one first?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't want to say it causes problems, but I think too often we walk into a customer and we find out that there are tend to be these silos between the security teams and the networking or other infrastructure teams, like the server teams, the cloud teams, et cetera. And you know, that leads to you know, sometimes it leads to the fact that you can't get the optimal deployment of security to get the best possible protection. So I'd say it's more about missed opportunities. But I think mm-hmm. as someone who's been working in IT security for 20 years, I often have had one foot into the infrastructure side. You know, whether it's the development of the web and application servers to, again, the network and cloud infrastructure, that we need to break down these silos. The security teams need to kind of get a seat at the table to understand what's rolling out in 1 year, 2 year, 5 years, so that we can have the best possible chance to implement the best type of security. And the second thing I want to stress about that is getting in there early, but not trying not to be a blocker. Too often when we think of our role of security and protecting, we tend to challenge changes to the status quo and the way things are done. So one customer, I just remember very famously at a customer meeting, the security guy kind of standing up at a cloud architecture discussion and saying that, you know, I put the no in innovation, and that's not what we want. We don't want to be part of the problem. We want to be security to be part of the solution, right, to figure out how we can deploy the best possible security and protection while enabling the business and the infrastructure to move quickly as forward as possible.
Interesting. Angela, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think the more that those two teams can work together and really understand each other's world so that they can be working together, you're going to just get better results that are better for the company overall. And I think also just like encouraging your IT team to kind of think like a black hat, like what are the possible ways if you were trying to break into this system or do damage to the system, what are you likely to do? And kind of getting that security mindset throughout your IT team.
Great. Now, I said at the top of the show that maybe we weren't paying enough attention to the network, that maybe we were giving endpoints and data a little bit too much attention, maybe we weren't paying enough attention to the network, but maybe that's just my biased opinion. Do you think that that opinion has any validity, or am I just am I just full of nonsense? Have you seen any of that, maybe the network not getting enough love over recent years? Warren, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah. Sure. You know, Fortinet is a leading network security vendor, but I've actually spent more of my career on the endpoint security side. So, you know, sometimes it always feels a little bit like the grass is greener on the other side of where you are. But I think the network security industry has been particularly healthy and robust. So no, I think it's been growing just as rapidly. And I think today, in today's advanced threats kind of environment, I think the real answer to what you've been observing is that we need to have a coordinated approach across not just the network and not just the endpoints, but really across all of them. And so there's also just exciting work in terms of how those two types of security are coming together more and more to integrate, share data and analytics and intelligence as well. So I think rather than saying that that network security is shifting in favor of endpoint security, it's really that all of them are becoming important pieces of the pie and trying to come together as a whole holistic solution.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's that opportunity to have that coordinated approach to bring the data from the different systems together. So in DNS traffic, you can often see what the APT and malware are doing on your system, especially for more rare malware that may be targeted specifically at you. But you can still see what it's doing in your DNS traffic if it's using DNS. And so it's that coordinated approach of bringing all the data together and being able to use it in a useful way.
Great. All right, so my final question for both of you then is for our listeners, what piece of advice, if you only had one piece of advice you could give to them about improving their network security, what would you suggest that they do? Is there any one big mistake that you tend to see people doing that you would try to stop them from doing? Warren, why don't you take that one first?
I think at the highest level, just as I think we've been stressing on this show, is to just keep abreast of what's going on. So keep one eye kind of forward to what's coming, down the line, whether it's new infrastructure technologies or whatever. And I would think that one of the best ways to do that is to come to Interop in May and. Maybe not just hear my session at Angelo's, but all the great sessions I'm sure that will be going on there this year.
Great.
And for me, I think the one thing that I'd like people to take away is if they're not looking at their DNS traffic, to see if there's a way that they can do that and see what kind of things are going on. And there's a lot of good information there.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you both so much. It has been a pleasure to speak with you both. Again, that is Warren Wu, Senior Director of Data Center Products from Fortinet, who will be speaking about a software-defined approach to protecting agile data centers and clouds, and Angela Knox, Director of Engineering and Threat Research at CloudMark, who will be presenting Barbarians at the DNS, How to Safeguard Against Attacks. They will both be presenting at Interop Las Vegas. That is May 2nd through May 6th. In, as I said, Las Vegas at the lovely Mandalay Bay. So now you can join us at in our live online text chat, which will be happening right where you are, right here on Dark Reading. You can, if you haven't already started participating in that conversation, please join right in. We'll be joining you as we hang up here. And then after that, please head on over to Twitter, where you can join in the Interop is hosting a Twitter chat, which is specifically focusing on the security track. If you want to learn more about what's happening on the security track at Interop, our own Kelly Jackson Higgins and Tim Wilson will be telling you all about it and answer all of your questions. So head on over to Twitter at 2 p.m. Eastern and use the hashtag InteropChat. Until next time, I am Sarah Peters, Senior Editor here at Dark Reading, thanking you, as always, for joining us. We will see you next time.